Bear Facts and Fishtails. Welcome to the show. We're going to be Markless tonight. He is a little bit under the weather. I'm sure he'll be fine in a day or two. And Brandon is sitting at the controls, and he'll be joining in from time to time because I don't like to talk for two straight hours. You know what I'm saying, folks? Here's the deal. This is open mic night, so I want a lot of phone calls. And I'm going to throw some things we can talk about. First of all, I was listening in the last 10 minutes of the other show, and it's a funny thing. I was going to bring up the fact that they want to allow us to use rifles for the whole season, and no matter where we are in the state. And they didn't, and the gentleman they were talking to didn't know the reason why they went to slugs only in certain zones, and it had to do only with they didn't think that we could shoot as many deers with slugs. Basically, that's what it was. To try to keep the population from being over-harvested in southeastern Minnesota. I'm getting a lot of static, by the way, Brandon, which...
All right, I'll see if I can track that down.
If there's anything you can do, it's in my ears.
Sure.
There you go, that's a lot better. Now I can think. So anyway, that was the reason. It wasn't so much for... It was more they didn't think because slugs... back in those days, were all shot out of smoothbore shotguns, and they weren't designed to be as accurate, and they wanted people to miss. That was, I gleaned that information today out of Outdoor News. That was the reason the DNR did that. Now, there will be a lot of, I know already I saw a few people that were upset over it that live in that part of the state. Because obviously they were worried about the travel of the high-powered rifles and whatever. Where I hunt in Wadena County, even though we are right in the middle of a thick batch of woods where even on the ground, your bullet's not going to go very far because it's going to hit a tree. But all around me, there's a lot of open fields, and they use high-powered rifles. But most of them are using raised platforms, or they're in stands or high on the ground, high off the ground. In other words, they're shooting down, and that makes a big difference. I don't know. Maybe they could probably, if they were worried about that, maybe they could make sure that people that use high-powered rifles are only using them in elevated stands. Because obviously the bullet, you know, if you're shooting down, is not going to go as far. So whatever. But we could talk about that tonight. The good news up here is, geez, what a beautiful day yesterday and today. Yesterday I went out for the first time in about three weeks. I got my snowmobile running and I went out on Rainy Lake. The slush is gone. The snow cover is real hard. When you can be walking on a foot and a half of snow and you don't even make a footprint, so you can pretty much snowmobile wherever you want. I crossed over into Canada and I fished a hole. It's about a 48-foot hole that 2 years ago was loaded with big crappies. All I got was a few tulipies, so I was out there about 3 hours, and I moved three or four times in that hole. It's maybe 100 yards by 100-yard hole, and all I could catch was tulipies. So that was my excursion this weekend. But if you're into snowmobiling, it's ideal up here. And of course, our listeners know that tonight at midnight, the walleye season is over. So it's over. From here on out, except up here, I think I get to fish them till April something. Walleye season stays open on the border waters.
I think I saw April 1st, maybe.
That sounds about right. We're not going to get into that. And by the way, don't forget, guys and gals, our fishing licenses are due on March 1st. And every year, because I am an old-timer, they used to be January 1st. Where you'd renew your licenses. And ever since it went to March, there's been years where I almost, mind you, went fishing without my without an updated fishing license. So get it done. Another issue in Minnesota, of course, is the four walleye regulation. We can talk about that. Most people agree with it. I'll be really shocked if the DNR doesn't go ahead and, you know, put it through. We'll see. I can't believe there'll be anybody that would be against it, although it should be two. But that's a Larry Bolig-ism. I've been saying that for 20 years. Let's see, what else could we talk about today? You know, there's some, the panfish regulations need to be changed. That's something else we can talk about. If you believe they shouldn't or if they should, whatever. Also, another issue that I wish could come to fruition because it is worrisome, the test kit for CWD, because I believe one of the reasons there's a few less deer hunters is because there are people who are actually afraid to eat the venison. And the sooner we could get a convenient kit where you could check your own deer to make sure they were, well, safe to eat. That's another argument right there. So that's all we got today. You can give us a call at 763-450-0100. We'll talk about anything. Brandon, what
yes,
do you
sir.
Think, man?
Well, I got to say, one of the things that I've been doing in the last few days was watching millennial farmer videos on YouTube, since you brought it up the other night. Yeah, I've fallen in love with it's a great series, definitely worth checking out. Like, it, you know, a great look at the life of a farmer. And so I thank you for that recommendation.
Well, that's very nice of you to give me credit where credit is obviously due. We got Bloomberg talking bad about farmers, so I'm talking good about them, right?
Right. Yeah, and it's I don't know if you saw one of the recent videos he did was with the NY Farm Girls. There's a couple sisters that have that calf farm in New York, and like I love that too because it's just some young girls that are they're standing up for the industry, you know, and like they are kind of under attack. Farmers are under attack by people right now.
Well, it's just silly because it is very complicated. You know, you just don't throw a seed in the ground. I can't even believe he said that. And you know what? I don't like Bloomberg. Okay, but
same.
I know what he was trying to put across. He just did it badly.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, he was saying. You know, the people. There are people. We need geniuses in this country. I mean, real geniuses to come up with new ways of doing things. That's what he was trying to say, but he was very clumsy at it.
Right.
You know, which is fine with me. I hope he gets two votes total.
What is another thing that you probably hadn't tuned into yet when the four outdoorsmen were talking about that Twin Metals and Ely and the mine deal? What are your thoughts on that whole deal? Have you heard much about that?
Well, the DNR is going to court because as far as they're concerned, that they should be able to go ahead and mine. All the rules and regulations that Minnesota had and we've been looking into it for a number of years. So the DNR says go ahead and build it. However, they kind of screwed something up, and believe me, I'm not a lawyer. So these environmentalist groups are finding another way to keep it from happening. Now, the town of Ely is split right down the middle, just like the country is.
Yep.
You know, I think it's 270 full-time jobs, something like that.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. We had a guy who is a dude from Ely called in to the Four Outdoorsmen in their first segment, and that's exactly what he said, is it is a house divided, man. Like, it depends on who you talk to, and the tensions are high kind of over the deal, and it's something that people are passionate about on both sides, and they both have pretty good arguments.
Yeah, I know, and as a voter, you know, as a fisherman, hunter, our parties, our political parties, I mean, the Democrats, I'm not using this term every Democrat, their party is pushing gun control, and anyone who thinks that they don't want our hunting rifles is you're not right in the head. I'm just telling you. They want everything, but they're not going to get it little by little. They're going to get their hunting rifles.
Give them an inch, they take a mile, kind of a deal, and it's a slippery slope.
As on the other hand, there's fishermen or clean water people are all upset because the Trump administration is lessening some of the stringent
regulations.
Now, I have a friend up here who owns about, 400 or 500 acres. His family's been up here since 1920. And he has a gravel pit. And the gravel pit's probably, roughly 100 acres, no, maybe 50 acres, 40 acres, let's just say. And they came in, the government came in, and they told him he had to put it back exactly the way it was.
Exactly.
Well, bulldoze it all in and... And you and I know that, bulldoze it in. Nature will take care of it eventually. That gravel pit isn't going to destroy the environment. It's such a local issue. But it's going to cost him, thousands and thousands of dollars to put it back. And it won't change anything.
Right.
It's not a big enough deal.
Yeah. Whether the gravel's there or there, it's still,
Well, there's good points on both sides. You go by the Iron Range and you see these huge piles of ore, and they left them alone, and there's pine trees growing on them. It looks goofy.
Nature will reclaim its area when it wants to.
mining does have a pollution problem, but.
Sure.
According to the DNR, they've taken so many steps. Businesses don't pollute like they used to.
No, yeah.
You just can't do it.
Yeah, and the advancements, though, too, in technology make it just more efficient and a cleaner kind of process and stuff. And that's part of the deal, like you were saying, that we need those geniuses. We need smart people to figure out better ways to do the things we need to do.
Exactly. So on one hand, you have that going on, and as a hunter-fisherman, who are you going to vote for? They say the Democrats are going to stop the polymet. Well, not all Democrats. I'm talking about the way left people, the environmentalists, pseudo-environmentalists who won't let us hunt wolves. They live in New Jersey or wherever they live, and they're rich and they got a lot of money. They're holding up the whole state of Minnesota from taking care of our own resources. So you tell me what to do as a voter. You pick your poison.
Yep. We should probably maybe say, the views expressed on this show are ours alone. But because I know with Larry and I, both you and I, we agree on a lot. And it could be very easy to turn this into Trump radio tonight. But we don't need to necessarily do that. But, I'm with you all the way. And I.
You just pick your poison, folks. And believe me, this gun control issue, look what happened in Virginia. And we don't talk about it much. We don't get any calls on gun control. Do the hunters that listen to the show not care?
Right, because that is one of those things where it may be happening there right now, but it's not like just their problem, because it could easily and quickly become ours.
I will say this, I just signed a petition. In Virginia, the counties went, what's the expression they're using?
I don't know. I'm lost.
It'll come to me, Anyway, in Virginia, the counties all said 90 counties out of 100 or whatever went sanctuary, what they call sanctuary counties, where they're not going to abide by gun control rules that come from the state. So Oregon's doing the same thing, Washington. There's actually a revolution going on right now. If you are watching the news, And not just the mainstream, but the other news organization besides mainstream, you're going to find out that we're not that far from an actual revolution. It's possible. If they come to confiscate guns, folks, anybody who's lived long enough to know, there's going to be people that are not. They're going to shoot it out.
Well, I got a senator on the line right now.
All right, good.
This is Bill. He with the environmental.
Engelbertson?
Yep.
Bill Engelbertson?
It's it.
Yes.
Hey, Bill.
How are you doing?
I'm sounds doing
like,
good.
Sounds like you need some good political advice, you guys.
And well, yes, I think
fact,
I know
yes,
where...
in fact, the guns are going to be an issue again, just so you know that.
Yeah, I know they are.
Always.
Yep. Yeah, it's really unfortunate. But, you know, I gotta put a shout-out for my my Democrat friends out there, though, Democrat senators, for sure. They're pretty good with the Second Amendment. You know, they know rural Minnesota, they're with us usually against the suburb metros when it comes to gun control. Kind of interesting how they want to try and control the weapons from the good guys, and we all know the bad guys aren't going to come in and get permits. They're not going to, they're not going to do anything about that. They'd love for us all to have our guns taken away.
Yep, then they'll be the only ones with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're not going to let that happen.
No.
Yeah, right, Bill. You know, as some people have said, they're turning law-abiding citizens into felons in Virginia if they pass that. Luckily, it got tabled.
Well, we were up there. I was up there. I was on that committee, and actually we heard the bills, and we didn't take any votes on it. But last year, just know that last year they actually brought those bills forward, and we voted them down in the Senate because we have control of the Senate.
Right.
And so that's where it stopped. So we decided to take it out to rural Minnesota, take that meeting out to rural Minnesota and see how people out, what I call better Minnesota, how they feel about guns. And we found that out real quick up in Hibbing.
Well, I heard that one county already went to sanctuary status in Minnesota.
That's true? That's exactly what it is. It's a message. Well, there is what they're doing.
Right.
We keep hearing about sanctuary cities for to hide illegal felons.
Immigration.
So somebody came up with. I think it's a very good idea. It's the Second Amendment, folks, sending a strong message by. Trying to get your county boards and your city councils to go along and say, if the legislature is crazy enough to, violate the Second Amendment and restrict guns, then we want the county to say we're going to go ahead and not enforce that law out here. So it's kind of a statement is all it is, and it's a good one.
Well, I was talking about the state of Virginia.
Oh, the state of Virginia, that's a whole different deal. That'll take a whole Sunday meeting there.
But, I mean, it was tabled now. They didn't have the guts to actually pass it. Yeah.
You're right. I'm sorry. I thought you meant I guess we were up in Hibbing is where it was, not Virginia, when we had our meeting up there about guns about a month ago.
Well, I'm so glad you called in because I know there are, I know where you would stand on it. I know you enough. Reading about you. I don't think we've ever met, have we?
No, I don't think so, but
no.
I really enjoy your show. I'm usually coming down this time of night, so I'm listening to either you or the Minnesota Wild, and the Minnesota Wild are kind of boring right now, so I know you guys are always talking, the changes the DNR is coming up with, the four walleye limit, two lines. That's another discussion going on, as well as crossbows, making crossbows legal. So it'd be fun to listen to people weigh in. That's a couple of those issues tonight.
Yeah, and there was
crossbows legal for everybody.
Yep, and also I also noticed that the handicapped permit that you used to have to apply from the shoot from a like an ATV or a car, that's coming up again too, where they want to change it to just if you are a handicapped person, like if we're parking purposes, you don't have to apply for the permit. That's another issue that's up before the legislature, right?
Yeah, I believe it is. We haven't got into it that deep yet. We've been talking mostly about financing and what to do with all this extra money that, so that's kind of what's been been on the table so far, but. Game and fish issues may be coming up here pretty soon, and it's just be great to hear your folks weigh in on some of that stuff.
Yeah, and I always say, we can't just be listeners. We got to be doers. I mean, fishermen sit on their hands a little more than hunters do, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, people are messing around with fish more so. I think, the legislature gets involved in it because they realize that the pressure that's been put on the fish are somewhat concerning, especially especially sunfish this year and crappies with this with these big houses, you know, they had to be all piled up on one or two lakes, you know, because they're the only ones that can hold the fish houses, and those fish really got hammered. Yeah. And, you know, that's going to be an issue, coming up. We're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah, we're lucky here that a lot of legislators do hunt and fish, and they see it firsthand. They lived it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can see, I mean, you grew up in rural Minnesota. I mean, you saw it 50 years ago even. You know, back in the days with the pick, you stuck it, you know, put your bobber out there, and all of a sudden there'd be 40 guys in one little spot.
That's right,
you know?
Yeah, Lake of the Woods is where I grew up with my dad, and we would always, you know, we'd go where the fish, where the boats were. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of electronics back then, but wherever the boats were, obviously that's where the fish were. Well, now you can almost measure the size of the fish on the electronics, and you may or may not even want to waste your time on them because they're too small or there's not enough in that one school. I mean, it's pretty hard for those that really know their electronics and how to not go out and get fish. I know you got to get the fish to bite, but
yeah,
it's way different.
I was going to talk a little. I will later on, maybe if I get time. I want to talk about some of the stuff I see on YouTube on electronics is a little bit exaggerated, Bill, but. You can tell the size of a fish, but you don't always know for sure. And also, we're not going to regulate that. It's up to us as anglers and legislators to try to figure out an easy way to go where the walleye limits and just teach us we can't over-harvest.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? I think the kids are really teaching us a few things here, you know, with all this leak fishing that's going on and they catch and release. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we didn't release anything, you know, and now they do that. They take a picture of it and down the hole it goes, you know, and that says a lot. That says a lot about, you know, the anglers and the sportsmen in the state that want to conserve and want somebody else to get an opportunity to catch that fish.
Yeah, I think we're on the right track, although sometimes they go overboard that way too. You got to eat some, folks, because that's the real reason we, you know. Well, listen,
that's
I really
right.
appreciate the fact that you called in.
Do
we have to go on a break, or you want to hold?
Yeah, we are up to a break, but you know, if Bill wants to stick around, we could do that.
If you got time and you want to stick, we're going to take a break.
Sure, otherwise, I got another hour or so on the road, so I'm hands-free, by the way, so everybody knows that.
Safety first.
Okay. All right, well, this is Bear Facts and Fish Tales. We shall be right back.
You're listening to Bear Facts and Fish Tales, part of Bob Outdoors. Mark and Larry are ready to take your calls at 763-450-0100. That's 763-450-0100.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Larry here for Vexlar. You know, they've been in business for over 60 years helping people catch fish, including me, in fact. I got my first three-color flasher in 1989, I believe it was, and it still works. Now I use the top of their line, which is the FLX-28. It's a five-color flasher, has an automatic depth range. You know, you throw the transducer in the water, it automatically adjusts the range. It's got a digital readout, which is really nice, especially right after you cut a hole. Brushless technology, so it'll never wear out. And you can select which of the three of the five colors you want. You can only use three at a time. And I found that by adjusting the colors, it's easier to see. A lot of people are colorblind, especially men, to the color red. So Vexlar is a local company. You can go online and see all the accessories that you can buy. They're not all in the retail store. So you can give them a call at 952-884-5291. Or go online, vexilar.com, and they have accessories. Like there's a little gadget called a glow ring that you can attach to your unit. So you can put your glow lure in there and brighten it up for hours and hours at a time. All kinds of neat stuff. That's Vexilar. Do not leave home without yours.
The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com.
It's Neil here, and February is the month for love. So now's the time for the Bob FM Love Your Rug Special. Three rooms, zero resified, starting at just $119. Plus, this month only, they're throwing in a free hallway to sweeten the deal. And because love has no limits, Zero Res is going to take 10% off your entire bill if you get your air ducts and carpet cleaned together this month. Call today, 952-0-RES, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the Bob FM Special.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Now, more Bear Facts and Fishtails with Mark and Larry. Join in the show by calling 763-450-0100.
All right, we're back. Bear Facts and Fishtails, Mark and Larry. Except Mark is under the weather. We'll see him in a few days, I think, maybe next Saturday. I don't know. Anyway, we have Bill Ingebrigtsen on the line. He's a state senator from Wilmer. Where are you from exactly?
Oh, Alexandria, actually. I represent Alexandria, yeah, all of Otterdale County, you know, Fergus Falls, Perham, all the way up there.
Well, Wilmer was close.
Wilmer was close, yeah. Senator Lang, we partner up over there once in a while.
Okay, well, anyway. So, Bill, the CWD guys,
we had a meeting last week about chronic wasting disease because we spent a lot of money last year on the University of Minnesota. And we had the scientists over there, and they had some real good information. They're moving in the right direction. I hope someday to have that little packet, as you talked about earlier in the show, Larry, about when you shoot your deer, you wipe a swab, take a swab of blood, and you'll find out whether you have an infected deer or not. That day is right around the corner, I believe, and we're going to have to probably invest a little more. But it's happening. The scientists are starting to figure it out, and hopefully we can keep that tradition going. I mean, it's a tremendous tradition in Minnesota, as you well know.
Yeah, and that kind of information, that's the best issue right there. As far as I'm concerned, that's a top priority, and so people keep hunting.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
It really is. We've got a great population of deer, you know, statewide. Some areas not so much, but depending upon where you live, if you live where the gray wolf seems to thrive, you might be down on some numbers there. Otherwise, where I come from in west central Minnesota and all, you know, southern parts of the state, deer all over the place. They're all over.
I hunt in West, just south of Wadena in Otterdale.
I'm actually between Wadena and Parker's Prairie, so we probably we probably see each other. Do you wear pink or do you wear red?
Well, I'm not far into that. Maybe I should get a pink hat. You know what? I'm
a
manly man.
I think that would look, you'd look good in a pink hat. I've never met you either, but I can just tell already you'd look good in a pink hat. If you do it, I'll do it.
Well, I actually hunt. I hunt two places because I hunt the whole season, muzzleloader, and I let a lot of deer go. But I usually get one every year because I do want to eat my venison, and that's why we hunt.
That's right.
Well, anything else coming up? So the CWD deal, the kit, I'm so glad you called because,
we're getting something done there. I mean, we invested almost $2 million to the University of Minnesota. So they've got a research center there. They've got several PhDs that are on it. They're working real close with the University of Colorado. Colorado was kind of the shining star. In fact, that's where we send our tests right now. DNR sends those tests off, and they're working together, and as soon as we come up with that silver bullet, no pun intended, sooner the better.
Well, they want to get rid of the lead, but if they go to silver, I'm glad I bought a few thousand dollars of silver dollars, so that should send it up.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, that lead is a little bit of an issue, but... You know, quite frankly, it's all moving in that direction, and you know, I think we let the market handle it. You know, I don't think government has to come in there heavy-handed and require all that kind of stuff. It's starting to work. Most of your clay target places, I think, are going with steel shot now, so everybody's, you know, eventually going to get used to buying that.
Yeah, well, I think as far as shotguns, they already are. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people have to realize that most business people believe in environmentalism. And after all, if the world goes to hell, they're not going to make any money.
Oh, that's right. That's
so
right.
So let's just keep it simple here.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Bill, yeah. I appreciate the fact. Listen, call in anytime.
Anytime, okay. And you guys take care and keep your lines wet and keep doing what Minnesotans do with this beautiful jewel of a state we have. Take care.
I agree.
Thanks, Senator.
100%.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night, Senator.
Good call.
All right, Bill Ingebrigtsen. Well, he's called in. He called in a few before, and I know he's a listener, and he's one of the good guys. I mean, you know.
We had a lot. We pull a lot of weight. He was the second senator to be on Bob Outdoors tonight. We had Senator Jeff Howe on and the four outdoorsmen, and now we got, you know, so yeah, with Bob Outdoors is connected.
Well, most of the outstate representatives have lived the outdoor life. They hunt, you know, they fish a little bit. Our commissioner loves to fish and hunt, and so you know, I'm not really worried that Minnesota would do as stupid a thing as Virginia did, as far as you know.
Oh well, and there they are. The Canadians are hacking Larry. Oh, he's back. Okay. We got that weird little interference thing that just happened again, but you're back.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, it only happens on our end. It just gets staticky for a couple seconds, but you're back.
Okay. Well, anyway, give us a call at 763-450-0100. And again, we don't care, you know, whatever you want to talk about. If there's nobody on the line, I'm going to talk a little bit about...
Lines are open right now. Yeah, so go nuts.
Okay. There's so much going on the internet about the new electronics, and there's advice being given by lots and lots of people, and I don't know anything about their experience levels, you know, especially when it comes to fishing electronics. Now, we have come a long ways in the last 5 years. In last year, this company came out with this Garmin with a machine that totally intrigued me. It's called Panoptics LiveScope. And last year at the sports show, I went and watched the demonstration. And you can actually see almost as good as it. Now, I used underwater cameras for quite a few years, starting about 15 years ago already. They've been out a long time. And you set one up if the water's clear, and you watch the fish come in, and you catch more fish because you actually see the bite, especially panfish. Especially sunfish and crappies, because they can come up to that bait and inhale it and exhale it in a blink of an eye. And if you actually can see the bite, then you'll set the hook before they can spit it out because you're watching them, which means you catch more fish. I'm getting a lot of static now again, too, Brandon. I don't know if you can get rid of it.
Sorry, I was just answering some calls.
There you go. Okay, anyway, all right. Okay, so cameras, ice fishing, they definitely, you catch more fish. Okay, so that's a problem. That's a problem. Now, the problem with a camera is you can't use it everywhere. You can't use it. It's just hard if the water's mercury. It's a lot of hassle to set that camera up. But like my brother Butch, he's got a permanent deal in his fish house. He's got a full-size screen, you know, a television screen. And I know he'd quit ice fishing if he couldn't use it because it's fun. You know, you can see the walleyes come in, and a lot of times they don't bite. You know, you can't make them bite. But he sees the fish, and he sees this there, and it's fun. You take a bunch of kids fishing in the wintertime, especially, bring them in a fish house, let them watch it. It's great fun.
It's like watching an interactive TV show that you get to participate in.
Yeah, you go on YouTube, and you watch, you know, they're showing that all the time. I mean, you see what's going on, you know, in fish houses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, with this new Panoptics, you stick the transducer. No, I'm not talking wintertime. Same thing, you stick the transducer down. Now, what this one is doing is totally different technology than the other. It's not, it's a whole bunch of beams, high frequency. The higher the frequency, the more detail. Has nothing to do with the screens. It's the frequency of the sound signals. In other words, a 200 kilohertz frequency is not as accurate as a 400. A 400 is not as accurate as an 800. On and on, okay? So in order to shoot your signal down to deep water, you have to have a lower frequency like a 200 or even a 100 or even a 50 kilohertz. But in freshwater, it takes less power to shoot a sound signal than it does in saltwater, so they're usually a higher frequency. Now, if you can combine a whole bunch of frequencies shooting the signal out across, let's say, a 25-yard area out in front of the boat, when the fish swim, you'll actually see them moving on the screen. With the old technology, you'll just see a signal of the fish. As long as he's in that one beam, you can see that he's moving. But when he moves with this new ones, there's so many beams, he moves from one beam to the next. So you can see him swim all the way across a 20 or 30-foot area. So instead of seeing a mark on a screen, you see a mark that's moving. You know if it's moving, it's a fish. Now, some of these high frequencies are able to actually, where you'll see a fish, you can actually see its fins and its tails, depending on the frequency you're using at the time. It isn't that complicated, but it is complicated, okay, at the same time. So now you've got something on the market. As far as I'm concerned, that's way better than a camera because I can put it on my trolling motor. And wherever I point that trolling motor, I'm looking out ahead of the boat, out to 80, 90 feet. And if there's any fish swimming out there, I'll see them. There'll be no guessing. There's no guessing. That's a fish. It's swimming. Weeds don't swim. Algae doesn't swim. You'll be able to see those schools of crappie. They'll actually see them swimming. The problem with this technology, it's like $2,500 to $3,000 to put one on your boat. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. Well, because I'm a little older now and I need a new toy, I'm probably going to get one this year.
Treat yourself.
No, I'm not getting it necessarily to catch more fish. Because I'm kind of beyond that. I've caught a lot of fish. Now, if it helps me in a tournament, that's good. That gives me, fine, you know. But that's not why I'm buying it. I'm buying it because it's adding a whole new excitement to my life right now. Last year, I finally bought the trolling motor that you can make it keep stay in the same place.
Spotlock,
by pushing a button. It's called Spotlock. I finally got it. I couldn't take it anymore. I love it. I love it. In the wind, I love it, I love it, I love it. and I'm so glad I bought it. It cost $2,000. I mean, I had a perfectly good one that I paid like $1,200 for only 3 years ago, but I had to get rid of it. And you can't sell them. Nobody wants to buy it. It's obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to trade it or nothing. It's in my garage now. Hell, I'd sell it for $200. It's a $1,200 trolley motor. Same thing with my electronic. I'm not going to tear off all my old ones. I mean, you know what I'm saying here. So,
Well, hey, let's take a quick break. I got a couple calls on the line now, a couple good ones. We're up on a short break, though, here. So let's get that out of the way, and then we'll hit with the callers. And I did have the guy who called in with a fish story. Try calling back. I lost you. You weren't able to hear me for some reason, so just give us a call back. But
all right, this is Bob Radio. We shall return very shortly.
Bring the outdoors home with you. Mark and Larry have more Bear Facts and Fishtails for you. No boot cleaning required on Bob Outdoors.
To all military veterans, please stop by the Spectacle Shop when you need prescription glasses and receive half off your eyewear. Not just your eyewear, we'll also take half off prescription glasses purchased by immediate family members. The Spectacle Shop is in Uptown Minneapolis, Grand and Lexington in St. Paul, and on Silver Lake Road in New Brighton. The Spectacle Shop is owned by a veteran who would like to say thank you to all military veterans.
Larry here for my buddies Frank DeSanka up in beautiful Chisago City, Minnesota, the number one Ranger dealer in the world. It's not amazing because you know what? He's almost always there and he gives the best prices in town, probably in the world. Number one, he takes care of his customers at the aftercare. His two sons, they have an 8-stall service center, which his kids are in the back, the boys. Joe and Bud, they've been rigging these expensive boats for many, many years. They've been handling mechanical problems. If you're going to buy an expensive boat, Ranger boats, they don't give them away. You better get a professional rig job. You know what I'm saying here? Now, Ranger makes aluminum and fiberglass boats, so they have walleye boats out of aluminum or fiberglass. They have bass boats, aluminum or fiberglass. They have pontoon boats. Maybe you just need an outboard motor. Doesn't matter. I'm telling you, he loves what he's doing. You will get the best prices there. They're up in beautiful Chisago City. You can give them a call at 651-257-6334. Or frankies.net, used boats. He'll be getting them in. He sold a lot of boats. Always sells a lot of used boats, outboard boats. Doesn't matter. If you are in the market for a new or used boat and you haven't thought about it, Frankies, well, get on the line, get up there, whatever it's done. Remember, Frankies in Chisago City, Minnesota.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
Go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code Bob. Or call 800-606-7812 to take advantage of this amazing offer.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color.
it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault. Creating customers for life. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Let's get back to the important stuff. Bear Facts and Fishtails. Join the conversation by calling 763-450-0100 right now.
Bear Facts and Fishtails, we're back. Mark and Larry, Mark is under the weather. I'm holding the fort down myself. Brandon is at the controls. Do we have a caller, buddy?
We do. I got a couple on the line. We're going to start things off with Pete in Northeast Minneapolis. He needs some help. Pete, you're on with Larry.
Larry, I'm in a pickle. My neighbor brought home a late-season deer. Asked me to help him hang it up in the garage. By the way, I live in Minneapolis, deep in the heart of Minneapolis.
All right.
I helped him hang the thing up in the garage. I went back over to see how things are progressing, and I asked him what he was going to do with the carcass. He said, I'm going to put it in the garbage. I said, oh, you can't do that. You got to put it in this green recycle bin. That everything goes down to Faribault or out to Delano or wherever for a big landfill where they make soil out of it. Well, he stuck it in my green recycle yard bin. The city put a tag on it and said, no deer carcass.
Yeah.
And only because we've been frozen for the last 2-3 months have I left it there wondering what in the hell am I going to do with that thing. So I'm checking the phone book for Tide and Hallow companies and this and that. So they don't exist anymore. What does a person do besides bring it up to their land and spread it out? But I got to tell you, there was a deer hit on the road in front of our place up in Aiken County. And that damn thing, those bones and whatnot, laid there for 2 years before they dissolved. What are your thoughts? What could I do with it?
Well, I don't know what you can do with it now except bury it, you know. Obviously, you can't go out and bury it in your yard, although if you had a big yard and it wasn't winter, that's probably what I'd do. I'd just go bury it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you're breaking any laws doing that. But, usually, you know, there are hides for habitat. You know, a lot of small towns have collection areas for the hides.
So Larry, you can't. Say, are you going to be at the show? I've got a box of matches from your old employer. Would you want those? Burger Brothers?
Yeah. Yeah,
right, I'll
be there.
I'll bring them by at the next show.
I'll be there Thursday and Friday and Saturday at
very
Frankie's,
good,
hanging
thank
around.
You. Thank you.
You
very
betcha.
Much.
You bet. Bury it deep.
Good advice. All right, moving along. I got David with a fishtail. And David, you're on with Larry.
Hi, Larry. I heard you talking earlier about putting your jig down and seeing the jig.
Yes, sir.
Well, we usually have a spearing party, spearing get-togethers with our family. My mom spears, my dad spears, my sisters, everybody. So we got like 4 collapsible fish houses in our shed up north up by Bacchus.
Okay.
And we fish on the Portage chain of lakes there.
Sure.
Anyway, we were out, and my dad was looking down the hole. He was a ways away from the spearing house trying to fish for bluegills. And he caught a couple bluegills, but he lost his favorite jigs. And every time, he's a crabby old man, every time he lost his jig, he'd break his line and, oh, he got my favorite jig. There, he got my favorite jig. And he lost like 3 jigs. I said, Dad, you're not tying them on right. So I went and tied one on for him. And he said, I better not lose that one. That's my pink and white one. That's my favorite. So anyway, my mom was spearing a ways away, and she speared a nice one. She speared a 12-pound northern, and she threw it outside. And a little while later, she walked up to Dad, and Mom gave Dad all 4 of his jigs back.
There you go. You know, when you were talking,
That northern's mouth was decorated with all Dad's jigs.
When you were talking,
anyway.
When you were talking, I knew that's what happened.
Really?
I'm sure. I thought to myself, he's getting bit off.
Yeah, he got bit off, all right. But anyway, he looked. Dad was 83 years old. He looked at Mom. He goes, "Where did you get these? Did you buy them at the store?" Mom said, "No, I got them all back out of the northern's mouth." But anyway, it was pretty funny. We all laughed.
Yeah, well, it's actually stuff like that has happened to me personally, and anybody who spent a lot of time fishing has actually got his own lure back at one time or another.
Spearing, you get so many different stories. Like, you know, we speared one time with one of those clips in his lips from a stringer.
Sure, sure.
Those metal clips. And now we found daredevils in their bellies. You know, we always got to cut their belly open when we're cleaning them, see what's inside of them. So, but we got all kinds of stuff hanging on a bulletin board up there that we found in the inside of Northern's mouth and guts. So,
they'll eat anything.
Very good.
Well, we appreciate the call, buddy. Yeah, thanks for calling.
Have a good night. Yeah, that's always interesting. It hasn't happened to me yet, but I'd love it to get one of your lures back. That's fun.
Well, I was cleaning a northern years and years ago, and I slid my hand in the belly, and a hook got in my hand, and we opened it up, and the hook was swallowed, and it came out the belly, and that's what was sticking out.
Well, we got another call, and you're going to want to take this one. It's your son Eric on the line. Eric, you're on.
I haven't heard from...
happy birthday.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
It's your birthday today? Or is it just right around the corner?
No. Today is actually my birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
I think that's the first... Well, but I'm at the state, you know, size in life where I don't need to be reminded, but I appreciate. My kids love me. I know that. The big 7-8. And he was talking about his 83-year-old dad, and the first thing I thought... I ain't that far away.
No, you got plenty more bite offs yet.
Oh yeah. I mean, it is amazing what the things that happen to fishermen. And you know, if you fish a long time, you've got stories. I mean, and they're true stories.
I think one of the funniest things that involved pike was so I'm fishing with Todd, you know, my brother, and. He gets bit off. We're fishing in about, you know, 15 feet of water, just throwing jigworm on the weed line. And he gets bit off, and he's down in the boat cussing and retying. And I jokingly said, I'll get that back for you. And I pitched my jig to the same spot and got bit, set the hook, missed the fish. But I came in with his jigworm on my jig and craw and laid it down right in front of him. And he looked up at me with his eyes wide open going, what in the hell? Yeah. That's something that only happens once in a lifetime.
No, I've never, ever heard of that. No, I believe you, but you're the first guy that... Funny you didn't ever tell me that story. That's totally amazing.
Yeah, we were amazed.
But it's believable because we've all had it happen. I mean, I'll tell stories when there's no listeners. I got a lot of stories to tell like that, you know. Unbelievable. Well... You been ice fishing at all, or I know you're working your tail off right now, but I know you spent some time on the river. What's going on in your fishing life?
With me, it's been all river. It's all been wading. I was at Monticello today. So was everybody else.
They were,
on this
I bet,
beautiful
yeah.
day. It was a zoo, but I caught them pretty good today. Probably caught 35.
Whoa.
Smallmouth and a lot of good ones. I did have one that was a 21-incher. Wow. Not a real heavy fish. Didn't even weigh 5, but a lot of good fish. Caught one big buffalo today. I haven't caught a buffalo in a long time, and a couple big carp that actually ate the jig. I mean, they thumped it. They had it in their mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I would throw a really bright-colored jig head, I caught three carp and a buffalo that actually ate my swim bait today when I had a bright jig head on. But never when I had a black or green pumpkin jig head. That was kind of interesting, but good day. Yeah. A lot of people, beautiful weather, so good way to end the game fish season for me today.
So when you're fishing along that stretch of the river there, what is it, a couple miles of river that are fishable?
Yep.
So how many, I mean, can you almost always find a place and have it pretty much to yourself?
Not really.
Really.
Not on the weekends anyways, but
yeah.
The area I fished today, there's probably you know, you could probably legitimately walk up and down total of about 3/4 of a mile without, you know, without too much trouble. And okay, pretty much every inch of it was covered today. I found a little area where I could fit in, and did well there. But there was I think 14 guys, you know, just about right on top of me by the time I left. So,
well obviously, the good thing is that it's smallmouth there, catch and release only.
Yep.
So that,
that happens on occasion.
Yeah, and I'd sure as heck would partake in that myself. I'd give anything to have that going on up here. I got out today for the first time in 3 weeks, so I feel real good right now. So you're, as a general rule, because even though you're my son, I'll say that you're a great fisherman. And do you find a lot of times where you're getting in with guys who are not so good that you're really out fishing them, or is everybody catching them?
Well, you know, yeah, there were some characters down there today. I'm telling you, unbelievable. Broken rods where that's their best equipment. You know, where they're just fishing with half a rod and constantly just in a mess. And but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys you can tell they don't fish a whole lot. But there's some good sticks down there too. That's for sure. A guy next to me today caught about a 15-pound channel cat. He was actually fishing for channel cats. That's one of the bigger channel cats I've seen down there. It was they were gonna take it home and eat it. I don't know how good it would be, but yeah. But there's some characters down there.
I would tell him to take a Geiger counter. No, that isn't. Is that a nuclear plant? I don't even know. Water discharge.
I'm not even going to say for sure. I guess I always just assumed it was, but I don't know that for sure.
I think it is. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just kidding anyway. I don't know that.
Well,
I
maybe
probably
a listener knows. We're up against the top of the hour break. Shall we throw to that real quick?
Yeah. Yeah. Eric, you want to hang on for a minute or two?
Sure, I can hang on.
All right, this is Bear Facts and Fish Tales. We shall be right back.
You're tuned in to Bear Facts and Fish Tales with Hall of Fame fisherman Mark Fisher and Larry Bowling on Bob Outdoors. If you missed any of the show, click on mybobcountry.com under the Weekend tab to listen to all the archived shows. Go to mybobcountry.com right now and vote on the Bob FM Chillin' and Grillin' giveaway. Someone's winning a Traeger grill from the Blaine VFW, and you get to decide. Check out the pictures and vote at mybobcountry.com, and we'll announce the winner on Monday morning.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
To all military veterans, please stop by the Spectacle Shop when you need prescription glasses and receive half off your eyewear. Not just your eyewear, we'll also take half off prescription glasses purchased by immediate family members. The Spectacle Shop is in Uptown Minneapolis, Grand and Lexington in St. Paul, and on Silver Lake Road in New Brighton. The Spectacle Shop is owned by a veteran who would like to say thank you to all military veterans.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snow plow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also serves all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.
The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com.